love God and love your neighbor. Jesus didn't start teaching that in the New Testament. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15. Oh my, it goes way back. Let's start in 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. That means take care of your business. Don't keep back that which is due someone else. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So it's not a new concept to God. It's really not a new concept to His people. And here He used poor and rich. He used brother. He used thy people. He used neighbor. And all those things are kind of synonymous, are talking about who is our neighbor. It's the rich and the poor alike. It's those that are of our country and those that are not. It's those that are of our people and those that are not. And yet, over the years, since God instituted them as a nation, God told them, you love your neighbor. Love the rich, love the poor alike. Don't honor one and despise the other. Make it equal as far as your love's concerned. And judgment and the way you treat one another. That wasn't a new commandment when Jesus came on the scene, was it? And yet, so many of I'm not going to pick on the Jewish nation because only use them as an example of how it gets with everybody. Over the years, they had taken that and they expected that themselves, because of some other things that God said, they said that we're only going to love our people. We're only going to love and show love to people that are our brethren, people that are of our nation, people that are like us. And you can watch the degrading of this all the way down into the New Testament, where now God said, you're separate. I've separated you and I've made a difference between you and everybody else. That's what He told the Jewish nation, Israel. He said, you're different than everybody else. The difference that I made, not the difference that you made. And mainly the difference is because He set His love to be upon them. And they were to show forth special praises unto Him and be God's nation in this earth. And they God told them, don't you partake of the other people's sins. Don't you look like the heathen folks out here. That's why He gave them a sign of circumcision. One reason why. Don't be like them. And over the years, they got to the point that they wanted to be so unlike everybody else that their love became closed. Their love became only pointed to the ones that were of their own house. I'm talking about the house of Israel. And they hunkered in the bunker. Y'all know what that means. They kind of were closed off to everybody else. Closed off to anybody that was unclean, whom they deemed unclean in their own eyes. So then they began to be judges, didn't they? Judges of other men. Judges of what was going on inside. Do you see how this degrades? And it leads to Phariseeism. You know what a Pharisee is, right? A Pharisee is one that thinks that he's the top shelf stuff. He's the cream of the crop. He knows more about the Scriptures than you. He's got more evidence of godliness than you. He's got more understanding of the Scriptures and more wisdom about what to do with it than you. And nobody else has it but Him. You know the attitude. We've talked about it here a lot. The Bible's full of it. And the Lord was so staunch against it that He says, told His disciples, His followers, He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because that leaven will leaven the whole lump. So we ought to always be on our guard that we're not selecting who we ought to show love to. Right? Now, love isn't just something that says, oh, I love you. Love in the Bible is not just a feeling. Love in the Bible is action. It got so strong that they wanted to be separate from everybody. They didn't want to have anything to do with anybody else. got so strong that they wouldn't even have any dealings with folks that were partly of their nation. You know, the Samaritans. Y'all think about the Samaritan woman and the Samaritan people. They called them dogs. Did y'all know that? You know what a Samaritan is? It's a person that's half Jew, or that nation, that group of people was half Jew, half Gentile. And those that were the tribe of Judah, they considered them dogs because they were not purebred. I mean, they didn't have all the bloodlines, see, that went back. I've got this. I've seen it several times. Sonia and I will go to a meeting or something and somebody will ask us, "Who are you?" That we don't know. "Who are you?" "I'm nobody, really." You know what they're asking? Y'all know what they're asking? You give me your pedigree of who you are. God help us. You know what that makes me want to do? Go home and not go back. That's what it makes me want to do. That's sad. Is that loving your neighbor? No, that's bringing them into bondage. Is that what the Lord meant? I think He taught against that, don't you? I think He taught against that. Didn't the Lord say when they made a... He said, when you make a feast, don't call your friends. He said, call them that you don't know. Call the poor, the lame, the maimed, the blind, and the halt. And you bring them in because it's not such a big deal for you to ask your friends over to a feast. Because if you love them which love you, what thank have you? He said the publicans act that way. They love the people that are like them. They love the people that are like them. I believe the Lord's pretty serious about this business about loving your neighbor. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 12. I don't want to get too fast in this. I do want to drive home the point because the Lord drove home the point. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came. In Matthew, it says he was a lawyer. And in Matthew, it says that he was wanting to justify himself. And here he says, this gives us a little bit more information. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, talking about the resurrection, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? I don't think this brother was really trying to... In Matthew it says he tempted him. Sometimes tempting doesn't have to be bad. Tempting can be just a try. Try somebody to prove them. I think this brother genuinely wanted to know what the Lord thought about it. And Jesus answered him. Now this man wants to know what's the first commandment of all. In Matthew it says which one is the greatest. And this is the answer that Jesus gave him. The first of all commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Isn't that what he said over and over and over in Leviticus there while we were reading? He said, "I am the Lord, the Lord. I am Him. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great." This is the first commandment. And Jesus says, "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now, I submit to you today that you will not be able to love your neighbor as you love yourself if you don't first love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. I mean, just think about it. If you love God just a little bit, you're going to love your... I think it's a direct correlation here. If you love God a little bit, you may or may not even consider your neighbor. If you love God a lot, you're going to love your neighbor a lot. If you love God with all your strength, all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul, then you will come to the point where you love your neighbor so much, you love him as much as yourself. That kind of takes jockeying for positions out of it, doesn't it? If you see somebody that doesn't love people, you can probably rest assured that they don't love God very much. That's just kind of plain. It's just kind of simple. James made it real simple. We're going to go there later. Jesus, after finishing answering this scribe, the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master," meaning that's a good answer, "thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." This is from a man that knows God's law and did his dead level best to keep it. I'm talking in the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And he put that where Jesus put it, and he says, "You're right, Lord. It is better that we..." Loving God and loving your neighbor is better than all the burnt offerings that we could ever give. And you know what the Lord said to that man? He says, when Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly, That means that he was wise. That meant that he was truthful and honest. And that he could see that the Lord was truthful. And he answered him that way. When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." That meant he was really close. Really close. Why do you think the Lord didn't say you're in it? Why do you think the Lord said you ain't in it? Because he hadn't done it. He knew it. He realized it. But he hadn't done it. I always wondered about that far, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." It's because he knew to do good, but he did it not. At least yet. Now, you're not going to not love God and love your neighbor and being in the kingdom, right? Remember, it's a direct relationship. You're not going to love God down here and then love your neighbor up here and be in the kingdom of God. I don't know if I'm explaining what's going on in my mind exactly right that with that, but "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And if this man had done it, I'm not saying he didn't do it later. The Lord just said, at this point, you ain't far from the kingdom, brother. The only thing that you lack is doing it. So, but at this time, the Israelites, the Jewish nation, this is historical, they considered everyone that was of the house of Israel their neighbors. Let's go turn to Luke, because we're going to talk about this for a minute. Luke chapter 10. Here's another one. In verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." That means he tested him. "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it? How readest thou?" He answering, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." That's what the lawyer said was the right one. I don't know if this is the same lawyer or not. I'm kind of thinking it's not. "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Knowing it is not enough. Having a cognizant understanding of what to do is not enough. Doing it is what it takes. Right? Now here's a great question. This lawyer wanted to know. He, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" That's a great question. I don't know. I think he really wanted to know. I don't know exactly the motivation for which he asked it. I don't know if he wanted to limit his neighbors or whether he really wanted to know the real answer to the question. I don't know. I know that he was willing or wanting to justify himself. Or maybe he was wanting to justify who his neighbor was in what he already thought was his neighbor, meaning of the house of Israel. If his neighbors were limited to those people. Here's Jesus' answer. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. You know, it didn't just say, oh, they just kind of walked on and didn't notice him. It says that he walked over there and looked on him and passed on by. It didn't say he just glanced over there and passed on by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, boy, that's them dogs, isn't it? That's them half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one was the neighbor? Was it the good man? Was it the holy man? Was it the man who knew all about the law? Or was it the dog, the half-breed? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know, Christianity is simple, isn't it? It is. It's simple in theory, isn't it? The hardness of it is in the doing of it, isn't it? That's hard. That's the hard part about it. You know what? Out of all the things that the Lord told the disciples, he taught them a whole bunch of things about the Pharisees. He said, you do the things that they command you, but don't be hypocrites like them. Not only did he tell them that, he called the Pharisees hypocrites. And he said, you think and you do, and you say, and you can perceive what's right, but you don't apply the judgment to yourselves. Not only do you not apply the judgment to yourselves, but you don't do the things that you tell other people to do. He plainly teaches that throughout the Scriptures. So Christianity, I tell you what, godliness is pretty simple in theory, but it's hard to do. That's the hardest thing, to be like Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 13. He says in verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. That means you, the only thing you owe to other people is to love one another. You know, he says, owe no man anything except for to love him. That's what you owe him. I never have seen that before. He says, owe, I always wondered, what does that mean, owe to no man? That's what it means. That you don't be in debt to anybody else as far as money or all these other things. Don't be brought into subjection of any, but you know what? Love them. That's what you owe them. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Paul is reiterating what the Lord taught in him. The Spirit moved him to do that. Paul says you can, just like Jesus did, and he boiled it down a little bit farther than Jesus did. He didn't say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're already doing that. He says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You know, when the Lord kept the law, because we couldn't. When he kept the law and he offered to himself without spot to God once, and he made a sacrifice for you and for me, and fulfilled the job that God sent him to do, he went back and he sat on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high, and everything's great. But you know, the Apostle Paul says, I mean, the Lord fulfilled the law, didn't he? He fulfilled the law. The Lord fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. That means every little bitty, to the smallest of punctuation marks, he kept the law. But you know what the Lord did not do? He did not do away with it. He did not say you are no longer under any laws. We're still obligated to not kill people. We're still obligated to not steal. We're still obligated to not lie, bear false witness. We're still obligated to honor our father and our mother. We're still obligated to do all those things that are in the law. But you know what? If we break one, that doesn't mean we're going to hell. You know why? Because Jesus died on the cross and fulfilled the law on our behalf. But He didn't tell us we could do whatever we wanted to. He didn't take away the law. He fulfilled it. I find this astonishing, that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the operation of the kingdom of God is consistent throughout the scriptures. The message of loving your neighbor as yourself is consistent. It's consistent with God when He spoke to Moses, wrote them on the tables of the commandments. It was true throughout all of their history. It's true when Jesus came and set up His kingdom. He said, don't forget, all the law is contained briefly in this, that you love God and you love your neighbor. If you want to sum up all of Christianity in one little snippet, when you wake up in the morning, say, I'm going to love God and love my neighbor today. And you will be following Christ if you do it that way. Oh, there's a lot of details written in here, but you know what? All falls under the big heading of love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. Paul says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Paul's saying time is ticking, folks. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, I think sometimes we compartmentalize God and put Him in one section of our lives. And we also put the things that we like to do that are against God over here. And some days we say, well, it's Sunday, I'm going to open up my God box and go in there. And then when Sunday's done or the services is over, we close the box and say, all right, I'm done with that provision. Now I'm going to go over and do the other provision or live over here all week. I mean, I've done that. I've done it. Paul's pretty serious about this. He even said in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 13, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Paul, he tells us how to beat this thing. He tells us how to beat this war, how not to have provision for the flesh. He tells us how to win this war. Battles daily. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But this message continues to get stronger and stronger the more we hear it and read in here. I mean, Paul told another church that was the fulfilling of the law was loving your neighbor. And let's go to James. Y'all know James. He didn't mind knocking the bark off folks. That just means he's real plain with his speech. He starts out chapter 2. He talks about don't have your faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. And he talks about the man coming in with vile raiment and a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel into your company. Basically, he's telling them if somebody comes into your assembly or in the church house and they've got a gold ring and goodly apparel, you set them up and say, oh, you sit in the best spot. And then the people that are poor and all say, you sit down here under my footstool, or you sit in the back or stand up in the corner somewhere. He's saying that's partial in your judgment. He says in verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? He says, look, God loves poor people. And he chose them, the poor in spirit anyway, and probably a lot of the people that are in poverty. Those that are rich in faith, anyway. And heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? I found it to be so. The people, a lot of the people that are really rich in this world, they despise God. And yet we almost want to agree with them so that we can be close to them. Y'all ever done that? I mean, I've done that. I mean, agree with somebody so you can be close with them because you didn't really want to buck them, really didn't want to say anything that was opposing to them because you might hurt their feelings or maybe hurt your station in life. I've done it. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? Then look what James says about this. If ye fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. James called it the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For he saith, do not commit adultery and do not kill it. Now if thou commit no adultery, but if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the perfect law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. That's scary to me. This is a recurring theme. He says, Lord, in his prayer, in the model prayer, he says, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. That means at the same level that I forgive others, I'm asking God to forgive me. That kind of puts it all on us, don't it? If I forgive a little, the Lord will forgive me a little. If I forgive a lot, the Lord will forgive a lot. It's a common theme throughout scriptures. What did the Lord say when the Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee, brought him to his house and wanted to let him have supper? What happened? The sinning woman come up there and he says, and Simon the Pharisee said, man, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. And she cried on his feet and washed his feet with her hair, dried his feet, washed his feet with her tears, dried it with the hair of her head. And then the Lord said, Simon, I got someone to talk to you. And he said, there was a man that owed 500 pence and one that owned 50 or something, or 500, whatever it was, a lot of money. He said, one that owned 50, owed 50. He said, and he forgave them both. Which one would love me more? Before it was forgiveness. Now it's love. He said, which one would love the most? He said, I suppose him to who would forgave. He forgave the most. And he said, you're right. You've rightly judged, Simon. When I came in here, you didn't offer me any water to wash my feet. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't anoint my head with oil. He said, this woman, since she came in here, hadn't stopped to wash my feet, anoint me. He said, she that loves much, going to get some love back. Because she understood that he forgave her much. It's a recurring theme. That we get out of it what we put into it. I never really ever thought about that much. The Lord said, I'll forgive you the way that you forgive other people. When you love me, love your neighbor. And you know what? When you love your neighbor, guess what? They're going to love you back. Since James called it the royal law, Paul says it was fulfilling the law, and the Lord said it was the greatest commandments. It's fulfilled in that, to love your neighbor as yourself. Let's look for opportunities to love our neighbor. It's a personal choice for each and every one of us daily to find opportunities to show love to our neighbor. And remember who your neighbor is. It's not the person that lives next door. It can be. It's wherever you see a need. Wherever you, it takes spiritual perception. Sometimes it takes natural perception. Let's look for opportunities to do good unto others. Because when we do, it fulfills God's law in us. Oh, not to go to heaven, but for living right now. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have that desire to come and be a part of this body of believers, may the Lord bless you this week, is my prayer.